Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 15, and can be found on page 976 of the Church Bibles. Matthew 11, commencing at verse 2. Jesus and John the Baptist. When John heard in prison that what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who will come. He who has ears, let him hear." Amen.
Expected something different from what is happening now, but what is happening now is different from what is better than that. Got any clue? You expected something different from what is happening now, but what is happening now is better than what was expected. Is it similar like Betty Bottom bought some butter, the butter was bitter, and Betty Bottom decided to buy the better butter to make the bitter butter into better butter? No. Have you heard this kind of sayings? And would you, if you have anything like that, would you like to try now? Yeah, we all do this when we are in childhood. And do you want to try this, or do you want to have, if you have anything else, you can share? Anyone? Wait, Chris.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. Where's the pick of pickled pepper Peter Piper picked?
Well done. Someone is with me. Anyone else? Yeah.
She sells seashells in the seashore.
Yes. Okay, there is some conversation going on. Let me go to what I said before. Expected something different from what is happening now. But what is happening now is better than what it was expected. And this sentence primarily revolves around the theme hope. Hope is nothing but expecting things to happen. Let us think about any of the particular situation that is going in our life. We may not be knowing the answer or solution to that situation. We are now on our way towards the end of that situation. But while we are on our way, we expect and hope things to happen on regarding that situation. Let us take an example of doing that. My issue here is to reach the front door. If I start from here, I am hoping that I will reach the front door in less than a minute. But who knows? When I step down from here, I might bump onto Chris and we will be talking about the Christmas carol service next Saturday, how we are going to do that. That is Sunday. See, it is already delayed. And then I'm moving forward towards my destiny and I'm bumping on with Jesse. And we are discussing about the recent recipe we tried last night. Yeah, and then I'm moving on still towards the destiny and I'm meeting my best friend Eastman on the way. How can I go without saying high five in our usual style? And then I'm meeting Sam here and I'm asking about how was his Australia trip. Yeah, still my destiny not reached and I'm coming here. And before I reach the final destination, whatever I call, Andrew is asking me to check the microphone that was left in the lectern, whether it has batteries loaded. So I had to come back here and check for the microphone whether the batteries are loaded or not. What happened to my hope of reaching the final door? We need to carefully analyze the hope here. Is that hope alone is prevailing on our journey towards the end, or are there any other our own presumptions, our ideas and our desires are also joining with that? We ask God in our difficult situation and we hope that God will work through the situation and will bring it to a happy climax. Yes, that is true. That is what our Christian hope is about. And we hope to be with the Lord forever in His presence is our ultimate and final hope. And it is the hope that brings us happiness. But we forget about God's own preferences in leading us through the journey in the way He desires. We don't know what God wants us to meet encounters on our way to the final end. We don't know how long God wants us to remain in that particular situations. We don't know whether the happy or sad situations that we encounter on our journey towards the final hope, whether it would repeat again, how many times. And we don't know how we are going to deal with the individual situation. But in all these processes, whatever happens in the middle of the journey, God is faithful. And God of our hope will lead us and take us to the destination that He has planned for His children. God is with us in every situation. God uplifts us whenever we are having that down moments. God encourages when we seem to lose our hope, the final hope. And in Romans 8, that is a most familiar verse. We always use that in our prayers. All things work together for good. Sometimes we interpret or misinterpret this verse and say that all good things work together for good. Need not be. Sometimes God uses even our negative moments, even our failures, even our physical ailings, He uses that for His good. It doesn't mean that we don't need to pray for all these intermediate things and He is interested only in our final hope. Is that the question we think about now? No. We need to be connected with God through our prayers. God always answers our prayers. And His answers will be either no, or wait, or yes. We might be praying for a difficult health situation at the moment we are going through. And His answer may be no. If He says no, then it is definitely better than if you would have said yes. Because He knows what is the best for us. But during that situation, we may not be knowing the reason why He said no. Sometimes we might be praying for a long time for something in our life. And it looks very rigid. Nothing is moving. So we might doubt whether God is listening to our prayers. God always listens. Let us not get disappointed for that reason. He is asking us to wait. His quietness, it means that we need to gain energy during the period of our waiting. God sees our life in an overarching view, combining our present muddles and present difficulties, and He worked together everything for the final hope, what He has planned for us. If He is saying no, we need to be encouraged that we are strengthened. If He says no, wait, we need to be patient in following His commands in obedience during the waiting period. We are all now in the waiting period. Let us not be anxious as things are not going in the way as we prefer. Let us not expect things that should happen what we think. It was a similar situation John the Baptist was going through during that period. Let us explore that in detail. John the Baptist, he was asking this question. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" John was in prison in this when he was raising this question. Remember, this incident happened about 2,000 years ago. When he was in prison, we know that why he was in prison. Because Matthew records that in the previous chapter 4, he says that John the Baptist was put up in prison. And he gives the reason why he was in prison in the 14th chapter. Why he was in prison? He was talking to Herod the king. He was telling Herod, what you are doing is absolutely against the law. You are having your brother's wife Herodias. That is against the law. Since he said that, he was put up in the prison. And during that time in the prison, you remember, like, there won't be any newspapers, there won't be any TV, televisions or radios or any such media to update your worldly knowledge about what's going around outside the world. John was so patient, must be suffering in his life inside the prison, but he still thinks about outside the box. He was interested in knowing what Jesus has been doing outside the world. So we can see that he is talking with his disciples. And the disciples were meeting him quite often. And the main question he is asking here, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Why he suddenly got this doubt? Was not the same John the Baptist who said this when he was baptizing people few months before. When he was baptizing people, he said to them, I am baptizing you with water, but the one who is going to come after me will baptize you with the Spirit and fire. He was thinking about Jesus and he was telling that to the people. And in another occasion, when he looked at Jesus walking there, he was saying, Behold, the Lamb of God. He has come into this world to remove the sin away. And in another occasion, John the Baptist was testifying Jesus, saying that, I myself don't know about him. I came here because the one sent from above asked me to baptize with water. But the one who sent from above, he told, You will see a man, and upon him the Spirit from heaven will descend on him in a form of dove, and you will know that that man is going to baptize in Spirit and fire after you. After seeing the God, after hearing God's voice and seeing the dove descending upon Jesus and reminding on him, John was testifying, this is the man I was talked about before. He is the one who was sent from above. He is the God's chosen one, and he is the Messiah. After all these confessions John made, what made him to ask this question to Lord Jesus himself? What disappointment he had for him to raise this doubtful question? Are you the one? Why suddenly? The disciples of John might be reporting him about what Jesus the Messiah has been doing around in the nearby towns. But still, John was not expecting that. He was expecting something different. And he was saying that this doubtful question to his disciples and sending them off to ask Jesus himself. John's this question suggests that he was surprised about Jesus' style of ministry. And John, however, he was expecting the Messiah in his mind would do something different from all his expectations or predictions he has got in his mind. After John's brimstone preaching about repentance, the axe being kept at the bottom of the tree, and whoever is not giving the fruitful life, their life will be destroyed. That was a firestorming preaching from John the Baptist. John was predicting Messiah Jesus would do or would continue the same kind of ministry in a much more powerful and forceful way. That was not happening. Whatever his expectations about Messiah was not satisfied with what Jesus has been doing around in that place. So he was frustrated. He was having a doubt. Is that the one? Because I expected something different. All these Jewish messianic deeds, whatever they expected, the Messiah would bring the political, social, and economic deliverance. That was not happening. So John obviously asked this question. We also sometimes release our stress in this way. When things did not go well, we go to Lord and the Lord himself and saying to that, Lord, I expected that you would deliver me from this crisis like this way. But it did not happen. And one step above, we would go and instruct the Lord himself, saying that how he needs to take us, our life in future. Sometimes we direct God Himself, saying that this is the path you need to put, so that would be easy for me or comfortable for me, or that's what I desire. Can you do that? If we are instructing or directing the Lord to do the work in the way we desire, then there is no meaning of having God Himself. Realizing God's awesome power, His supreme nature, His powerful authority, and His control, and leaving all things under His dominion is always better for us. Listening to God during the difficult times and learning what God is saying in that situation, and hearing and obeying what God wants me to do in that difficult situation. That is the better way to move forward. If God does things differently from what we expect, then we need to admit the fact that this way of working must be better than whatever I imagined. John the Baptist, when he was viewing Jesus doing a different kind of ministry than he expected, he should have accepted, this is the way of Messiah doing. Let me wait in patience and see what the betterment he is going to bring. What was in different way Jesus was doing, other than John the Baptist was mentioning all these days? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. It all looks good news. It all looks like healing, miracles, and proclaiming good news. But John was not comforted with that. This is what the ministry Jesus was doing outside the world. Since John's predictions were not matching with messianic deeds, he was disappointed. In this reply, this was the reply Jesus gave to John's disciples to go and report him back. In this answer, we can see that Jesus wove together the Old Testament text from Isaiah. If you read Isaiah 35, 5, 6 and Isaiah 6, all these things combined together in what Jesus has been answering in Matthew 11. This was already prophesied about what the Messiah would do when he come in future. And that's what Jesus was fulfilling there. So his answer combines the evidence of the deeds he has been doing at that moment and also fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. It may be unexpected for John what Jesus has been doing, but these acts of mercy are indeed included in the messianic deeds. Here, we need to pause for a moment and reflect what is happening here. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord. John, he had his own expectations about what the Messiah would do. John expected that the Messiah, Jesus, would immediately jump into action and topple his situation in the prison and fight against the Roman government and rule in authority. In this disappointment, Matthew, the gospel writer, is inviting us all to go and see beautiful God's handiwork that has been happening there. I always wonder, whenever you read gospel, think about it. John the Baptist was in that period. He was confused. He was perplexed. What is going around and all those things. But we are much more privileged people. All those things have been clear to us. And Matthew is explaining clearly now all these answers and saying that hope is there. Jesus is working towards the straight end of the hope, but a big additional package is included in the middle of his pathway or journey he is walking with us. Expectations is on his way, but all these healings, all this proclaiming good news, and the dead are raised, and all this powerful abiding presence of Jesus is with us. So he is fulfilling both. Comparing John, we are given much more explanation from Matthew, the gospel writer. Jesus, though he rebuked John the Baptist, he was saying that John is a true prophet and he is an authentic voice of God's spokesperson. But after all he said about John the Baptist, he was still called the last and the greatest prophet by Malachi himself. So until the John the Baptist period, the prophecies from God through people have stopped. And Malachi is saying that he is the returning one as an Elijah. He was seeing him as an Elijah who is going to inaugurate the last days. But Jesus, he is a new decisive and a new initiative and the new kingdom of heaven preparation, and everything starts from there. He has begun that life from there. So let us hope in God who is building our future. It is for sure for all his called people. But an additional package, whatever we go through in our journey, he is coming with us. He is dealing with the situation. All these healings and proclaiming good news and giving our comfort and all those things are happening on our way. And after reaching the final end, I don't think we need hope anymore, because we have already received and we are already going to be living with the hope, our King, forever. Amen.